I want you to see that the believer is encouraged by their personal interest in the sovereignty of God. The believer is encouraged by their personal interest in the sovereignty of God. There's a fundamental truth in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And the fundamental truth is this, that it is for you and I. Dear believer, the truths of Scripture, the promises of God are for you and I. They are personal to us. And we have a spiritual and an eternal interest in them. We can think of the great truths contained in this passage.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
We'll be right back. Hello and welcome to our program today. We thank you for joining with us. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we trust that the ministry of God's Word will indeed be a blessing to your heart and soul, that you will be encouraged in your walk with God. And if you do not know the Saviour, if you've never repented of sin, that you would indeed consider Christ. Consider his work upon the cross. Consider his glorious person, the one who is all together lovely. If you have been enjoying these programs, you listen to us on a regular basis, then do get in touch. Let us know you're listening. You can contact us at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Those details will be found at the end of the program as well. And maybe you are in the area of Cloverdale on the Lord's Day and you need a church to attend, then drop in to Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church and we will be delighted to be able to minister to you the Word of God. We're going to go to our pulpit now to consider the first part of the message entitled The Sovereignty of God from Romans chapter 8, and rejoicing in the great truth that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. May the Lord bless his word to your soul. Going to consider this evening Romans chapter 8 and the verse 28. Well-known text, a verse that many Christians time and time again refer to when difficult trials and circumstances come upon their lives. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Perhaps over the years you may have visited the British city of London. There is one specific landmark that no doubt you would have noticed, and one you would have heard, Big Ben, the clock tower that is attached to the Houses of Parliament on the bank of the River Thames. And if you were to go inside that clock, behind its face, and see the innermost workings of it, you would be amazed. There are gears and wheels going that way and the other way. And all these mechanical aspects that come together and work together to turn the hands at precisely the right speed to be able to present the time to the citizens of London. And the life of a believer, we could say, is like such a clock. Everything seems to be complex, and everything seems to be confusing. There are events that move through our lives in many directions, yet it is all governed to precision and to perfection by the God of heaven in his divine sovereignty. He works all things together for a blessed result according to his purpose. In Romans chapter 8, we see that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And this is a most reassuring statement. A more reassuring statement perhaps could never be made to us, because it could never contribute more hope and more happiness and more comfort and more joy in our hearts than this text does. That everything in the life of the believer, though it may appear to be going this way and the other way, and all the complexities of life, though it may seem very confusing, everything in the lives of the people of God work together for good in his will. We may commit sin. We may suffer pain. We may endure great suffering, temptations, trials we face. We may face sin and fall into sin and seek God for forgiveness. We may enjoy the blessings of life. All of these things work together for good. Yet when we think of sin, as the people of God, we should desire to examine ourselves, as we consider in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we come to the table of the Lord, we're to examine ourselves. Sin is not something that we ought to permit within our lives. We have considered recently the mortification of sin, putting that sin to death by the Spirit of God. But yet everything in our lives, all things work together for good to them that love God. And the apostle, under the inspiration of the Spirit, places no limits upon this text. The Greek word literally means all things or the whole. So this indeed is what the text means, that there are no limits, that all things work together for good. We can think of those bad things in life, those negative things that we experience. We can think of the difficulties and the trials. We could think of those problems that come our way, that if we could but for a moment stop the clock and go back and to change that circumstance for the better, we would. But the apostle says that all of these things, they work together for good. What a promise this is. What a reminder. And when we think of what is being said here, this is because of the gospel. This is because of our Savior. This is because of His finished work upon the cross of Calvary. The great love of God that has been displayed and experienced by His people. We can rest upon this knowledge, knowing that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His promise, because of the power of the gospel of Christ. And so tonight I want us to consider together the sovereignty of God, an encouraging truth for the believer. The sovereignty of God, an encouraging truth for the believer. And we see, first of all, that the believer is encouraged by their firm assurance in the sovereignty of God. The believer is encouraged by their firm assurance in the sovereignty of God. The apostle says, we know that all things work together for good. There's two words there. We know. We know. The apostle Paul is not stating that we hope or we think. We hope so. But there is a wonderful certainty here. We know that all things work together for good. He certainly is not saying we think that all things work together for good. Maybe for you, all things might work together for good. But then again, maybe they won't. And dear believer, when we deal with divine matters, when we deal with the things of God, when we deal with the gospel of Christ, when we deal with God's love for sinners, when we deal with what God has given to us through the gospel of His Son, when we think of eternity and the blessed promises we have of heaven and the forgiveness of sins, we can have a marvelous certainty. There is no thought here of any hope that may or may not happen. There are many today who hope that they have salvation. They hope that they're saved. They hope that all is well with their souls. They hope, but they lack that complete assurance of faith. I've talked to many individuals, some from the Roman Catholic Church and others, even from Protestant churches. And when you ask that question, are you sure you're going to heaven? Are you sure your sins are forgiven? My answer would be yes. Their answer is, well, I hope so. I hope so. They're not sure. They're uncertain as to whether there is that great certainty for them through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can rest assured upon the promises of God. We can rest assured upon His gospel. It is a gospel and a Savior upon whom we never need place any doubt whatsoever. And how marvelous that is. And moving into the end of this passage, we'll come to that in a few moments. But we are reminded of that. The apostle is not speaking here from some sort of uncertainty, but he is driving home the message that in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And verse 39, he sums up this great passage and says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the certainty of the gospel of Christ. And tonight, if you're in your sins, tonight, if you're a believer in Christ, but you're struggling with that assurance of faith, this is a chapter that reminds you, you can know with certainty. You can be assured that all is well with your soul. You can sing with the hymn writer, it is well with my soul. And not think in your mind, well, I hope so. But you can say, I know so. I know it is well. Why? Because God has said it. And God has promised it. And God has sent His Son to be the Savior for sinners. Not only do I believe upon those promises, but I look to Calvary and I look to the cross and I look to that great account in Scripture of how Christ died for the sins of His people. And I know He died and I believe He died. And He died for me and I'm resting upon Him. We can have a firm assurance. But coming back to this passage and this thought and this encouragement to believers, when we are downcast, there is a comfort and a blessing to be found in the certainty of God's truth. There is a confidence. And Paul says that he knows, and we know, that there is this great truth that all things work together for good. Here we have a knowledge of truth. Here we have the experience of the outworking and practical application of those truths to the heart of Paul. He experienced these things. He knew that all things work together for good. If you read the Gospels, if you read the Epistles, you will know that the apostle knew this from experience. He wasn't someone who was writing an epistle to encourage the church, and he thought, well, I'll make a few things up just to encourage them. I'll say a few nice things. I'll take some sugar and sprinkle it on top and make them feel good about things. Because it's hard and it's tough being a Christian in the city of Rome and writing to these Romans. Well, they need a little bit of encouragement, and so I'll just sprinkle the sugar on. He didn't need sugar. He could talk from experience. He knew. He knew that all things work together for good. And how did he know that? Well, Acts chapter 16 is one example. There he was cast into prison, chains around him. There he was with Silas, put in prison for preaching the gospel, for seeing souls saved. Souls redeemed from the power and delivered from the power of the devil. And he's not discouraged. He's praising God. And God sent an earthquake. And that jailer who came across Paul because of Paul's adverse circumstances cried out, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the apostle took that opportunity and he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. An adverse circumstance. Oh, could God not deliver him from the prison? Could God not prevent him going to prison? Could God not prevent the beatings and the sores and the pain and all that he suffered in the prison? But God had a purpose in it. And the apostle knew from even that experience, and there's many more, that all things work together for good. This assurance, dear believer, is founded upon knowledge. Man is nothing without knowledge. We can think of the knowledge we have for our work, the knowledge we have regarding the business that we are engaged in. We can think of the doctor. He would not be able to work as a doctor without a knowledge of medicine. We can think of the mechanic who cannot work as a mechanic without some knowledge of engineering and vehicles. We could think of the preacher tonight Would he be able to preach without, at the very least, a fundamental and foundational personal knowledge of God and the Scriptures? Knowledge is so vital to us. And when we come to the Scriptures and think of the knowledge in the Word of God, that knowledge has a practical effect upon us. The doctor may be well versed in various diseases. And as you go into his office and you have this symptom and the other symptom, he'll say to you, this is your problem. And this is the medication that you need. Why? Because he has that knowledge. And it is applied in a practical way. And the knowledge, dear believer, that you and I have of God, the knowledge we have of the Scriptures, the knowledge we have of God and his person and his attributes, it's to be applied practically. And Paul takes the knowledge of God. He takes the sovereignty of God. He takes the love of God. He takes the salvation and the gospel of God, the great love of God toward his people. And what does he say? We know that all things work together for good. There's all this knowledge of what God has done for the sinner, what God has done for his people. And he says, we know. We know because of who God is. We know because of the gospel that all things work together for good. We know. We know. And what a blessed knowledge that is. And why does that comfort our hearts? Because it reminds us that God is sovereign. That over our circumstances and over our difficulties, God is sovereign. He is not merely ruling this world during our good times and loses control during our sorrowful times. All things work together for good. The Westminster Confession reminds us that God from all eternity did, by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will, freely and unchangeably ordain whatsoever comes to pass. And dear believer, your circumstances have been ordained by God. Ordained to his glory. Ordained to your blessing. Ordained to your learning. And the knowledge of that truth gives us a blessed assurance that everything we face in life does not happen outside of the control of God. And that is why studying the Word of God and listening to His Word being preached is so vital to you and I. It gives us a foundation in the truth of God and in the knowledge of God. It reminds us that the Word of God has that great relevance to us. It reminds us of who God is. And we can think of the great doctrines of Scripture. Justification giving us a peace concerning our souls and salvation. We can think of eschatology. And while we can have our discussions and our debates, we are reminded in those doctrines that Christ is coming again. That his people will be with him. That he will come again in glory and in power. We're reminded in the doctrine of Christ of his so great salvation and what he has done. We can think of the doctrine of God and his attributes. He is the sovereign one who works everything to our good. This knowledge, the knowledge of God, is encouraging to you and I. For you.
Spurgeon brings us today to 2 Kings chapter 7 and the verse 3. Why sit we here until we die? Dear reader, this little book was mainly intended for the edification of believers. But if you're yet unsaved, our heart yearns over you, and we would fain say a word which may be blessed to you. Open your Bible and read the story of the lepers and mark their position, which was much the same as yours. If you remain where you are, you must perish. If you go to Jesus, you can but die. Nothing venture, nothing win, is the old proverb, and in your case the venture is no great one. If you sit in sullen despair, no one can pity you when your ruin comes. But if you die with mercy sought, if such a thing were possible, you would be the object of universal sympathy. None escape who refuse to look to Jesus. But you know what? At any rate, some are saved who believe in him. For certain of your own acquaintances have received mercy, then why not you? The Ninevites said, Who can tell? Act upon the same hope, and try the Lord's mercy. To perish is so awful, that if there were but a straw to catch at, the instinct of self-preservation should lead you to stretch out your hand. We have thus been talking to you on your own unbelieving ground. We would now assure you, as far from the Lord, that if you seek him, he will be found of you. Jesus casts out none who come unto him. You shall not perish if you trust in him. On the contrary, you shall find treasure far richer than the poor lepers gathered in Syria's deserted camp. May the Holy Spirit embolden you to go at once, and you shall not believe in vain. When you are saved yourself, publish the good news to others. Hold not your peace. Tell the king's household first, and unite with them in fellowship. Let the porter of the city, the minister, be informed of your discovery, and then proclaim the good news in every place. The Lord save thee, ere the sun goes down this day. We trust that this program has been a blessing to your own heart and soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, and I'm Andrew Fitton. Why sit we here until we die? Do you know Christ as Saviour? This is one of the purposes of our programs, that sinners would see their need of a Saviour, and that through the grace of God, they would come and repent of sin and know the forgiveness of their sins through Christ alone. Today, do you have that assurance? Do you have that peace, that joy that the salvation of Christ brings? Oh, that you would know and you could testify, He is my Saviour, He is my Lord, He is my King, and He is my Master. I love the Saviour because He first loved me. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.